26th of November 2018, the day after the Giants season is concluded, and the 18th of Kislev, Tafshin Ayin Tes. Okay. So we are in Halacha Day of Perek Ches. Now I know it's, you know, it is only November, but Perek Tes has much to do with the Pesach Sheni and also reflects many of the halachos of the original Pesach. And there is one pasuk in there that has some serious application with regards to our Seder Bizman Hazeh, right? And that is so again, what happens? The people come. There are those that were coming. Complained that they weren't able to bring the Korban Pesach. Then they asked for another opportunity to do so, and Hashem tells Moshe that, yeah, that's okay, we'll grant them that opportunity, and they're going to have a Pesach Sheni. And then it describes... One second here, let me just see something. Yeah. So, and then it describes how this is going to be brought. And there is a pasuk there, and this is really seems to be only describing Pesach Sheni. So, this is verse 9:11. In that second month, on the 14th day, you're going to do it. And then you'll eat it on Matzah Sumorim. Now, you're not going to eat it that day, it's not like you're going to eat it that night. That night, after, and then you can't leave it till the morning, and you can't break the bones. And you're going to keep all the laws of the Pesach. But in there it sticks in this line of Al Matzo Sumorim Yochulu. You're going to eat it along with matzah and with maor. So we learn out from here, so the Gemara quotes this pasuk with regards to two things we do in the Seder, namely the step of maor, and secondly the step of Korich. Now this is the pasuk where we talk about the mitzvah of Maror. So what does it seem to tell you about the mitzvah of Maror here? So it seems, and the Gemara spells this out, the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chaf, points out and says, yeah, that there is a mitzvah of Maror, but it is only applicable when you're bringing the Korban Pesach. It's only applicable when you're bringing the Korban Pesach. That's when you're going to have a mitzvah of Maror level of Doraisa. If there's no Korban Pesach, so then on a Doraisa level at least, someone is not going to be chayiv. A mitzvah of Maror. Okay, so that's step number one. That Maror, we assume, is manazet, is only Durabanan. Now, there is an additional question. Okay, what about when there is a Korban Pesach? So what exactly is the status of Maror when there is a Korban Pesach? What do I mean by that? You have to eat it? It says, well, yeah, but are you eating it as an independent mitzvah, meaning you have the mitzvah of Maaseh, the mitzvah of Maror, because there's going to be a Korban Pesach shortly, and then you're going, and you also have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, which you may or may not eat along with Maror. We'll get into that a little bit later. Or perhaps it is a, that the mitzvah of Maror is only to be eaten along with the Korban Pesach. So the Rambam, good. So right, maybe that's the mitzvah. I mean, does it get its own counting as an individual mitzvah? So the Rambam seems to say that no. The Rambam seems to say that because in the Sefer Mitzvot he seems to cite it as the mitzvah of eating Maror is eating it along with the Korban Pesach, and if one looks under in the Sefer Achinuch, he doesn't have a separate mitzvah of eating. Sefer Achinuch goes according to the Minyan HaMitzvot, the counting of the mitzvahs according to the Rambam, and the mitzvah there is listed as eating the Korban Pesach, eating Maror along with the Korban Pesach, meaning there is no independent mitzvah of eating Maror, you're only eating it along with something else. So and that's the so that's the opinion of the Rambam. Now there is also, and this I see here, I found this in Rabbi Sachs, in Rabbi Yonason Sachs's Haggadah, that there is a Sefer HaYireim that does count it independently as one of the separate 613 mitzvahs. So where is that coming from? What is that? What is their machlokas on? Is it considered a separate mitzvah to eat maror, or is it not considered a separate mitzvah to eat maror? So there is another machlokas about what would happen if you are not eating the Korban Pesach that year. Meaning, let's say you're one of these, you're a tummy Jew, right? You're a tummy Jew, and you're not going to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So now you have the first
You have the first Seder.
So what do you do that first Seder night? I mean, you're going to be bringing Korban Pesach in a month from now. So when you're having that Seder as being a Tame person, or being a Derech Rechoka person, a person who's being too far away, are you obligated in the mitzvahs of the night on that night or not? So the, what do we think? So the Gemara itself raises this question and says that, yeah, I might have thought that maybe the mitzvahs only apply when you bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, it quotes a pasuk to tell you that no, the mitzvah applies even when you're not bring the Korban Pesach. He quotes this here from Rav Daniel HaBavli says, yeah. Right, so that is, and that's a mitzvah. Meaning you have the regular other mitzvahs of the night are still going to be 100% applicable. Matzah and Maror, implying that Maror is one of those mitzvahs that one is going to be doing in the absence of the Korban Pesach. Comes along Rav Avram ben Arambam, I didn't see it inside, it's just quoted by him, but Rabbi, the Ran and the Chidushei HaRan seems to allude to this and says, yeah, that Gemara, first of all, that Gemara, the pasuk that it quotes is, the matzos techel shivas yamin. It was something only about matzah. It doesn't mention maror in that pasuk. And he says that, yeah, that first, if you're not eating Korban Pesach, even though it's the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and even though you're chayiv in the Korban Pesach, there's just some reason why you're not going to be able to bring the Korban Pesach, you're still going to be chayiv in matzah, but you're not going to be chayiv in maror. Right? The maror mitzvah is only when you're eating the Korban Pesach. Absent the Korban Pesach, even though you're chayiv to bring it, even though it's the time when the Korban Pesach is being brought, one is not going to be chayiv on the mitzvah of maror. So that is that's interesting, right? That's interesting, and perhaps that reflects back to the machlokas Rambam and Yireim, right? The Rambam who says that it's connected to the Korban Pesach, first of all, because it's mentioned only in the context of Pesach Sheni, where the mitzvah is Korban Pesach. So he's going to say that that's the deraisa. If you bring a korban, yes. If you're not bringing the korban, no. While the Yireim and perhaps others would come along and say, no. Mitzvah when there is a Korban Pesach, it would be fully applicable because it really is an independent mitzvah. Is there any nafkamina? Is there any ramification between these two positions? You would think of a nafkamina between these two positions. So the nafkamina might be, practical ramification would be, how much maror does one need to eat? So if I were to just ask you right off the bat, how much maror does one need to eat?
Nice.
A kezias, right? Just like all other things that one needs to eat, one has to eat a kezias. So the Rush says that. So the Rush says that. However, the Rush says it for an interesting reason. The Rush says how much maror does one need to eat? And he says, well, it doesn't say maror in the language of achila. It doesn't say one eats maror. It just says you're going to eat the Korban Pesach along with maror. But he says, well, we do know that we have a bracha of Asher Kishanu Sabbat Sivanu Al Achilas Maror. So therefore, it must be that that's going to be considered a mitzvah. That's what the Rush says. So the Shagas Aryeh asks, wait a second, if maror is connected to matzah, right? With matzah, right? That in matzah you require a kezayis. So certainly by maror you should require a kezayis. I mean, why is he saying, oh, well, we know that there's a bracha and the bracha, and therefore it must be that there's a mitzvah, the mitzvah. So therefore, you're going to eat a kezias, right? As the Shagas, sorry, why don't you just say because maror and matzah are connected? Just as there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, there's also going to be a mitzvah to eat maror. So he comes along and suggests. Actually, that's his question. Yeah, so Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, there's really two main, there's more than that, but there's really two primary places where Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is quoted. Number one is, the most prominent is Hagon Rav Chaim al Rambam, which he himself, I'm not sure he actually wrote, or there's someone else who's credited with writing it, but he certainly oversaw and was careful about each and every word. Then there's also these, what is known traditionally as the stencils, Chidushei HaGraf al-Hashas. I'm not really sure what the story is with it, but it is, it's out there also as the works, the things that Rav Chaim said over in Shirim. So Rav Chaim quotes from the Rambam, he suggests from the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't count the Maror as its own mitzvah, as we were just saying. The Chim B'Sefer Yad HaChazak, so too in the Sefer HaRambam itself, it says Maror B'Zman is as only in the Rabbanan, and he comes out from the words, U'matzo Sumorim Yochaluhu. And he continues on and suggests that maybe the only matzah itself is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. So, because by eating matzah as its own mitzvah, v'rak din v'tnai b'mitzvah d'achilas pesach nira din yochal pesach v'chatzi zayis matzah v'chatzi zayis maror. He says maybe maror is obligatory along with the korban pesach. Once one is eating a korban pesach, then you have to have maror along with it. If that's the case, how much maror do you need? So he suggests maybe you'd only require a half a kezias. You have the kezias of the Korban Pesach, half a kezias of matzah, and half a kezias of maror. I mean, you're looking for a matzah maror mix. Right, for example, when you have basar v'chalav, how much basar v'chalav does one need to eat in order to violate the prohibition of basar v'chalav?
More than 1/60.
No. 1/60 is the amount of milk that's going to be in the meat, right? In order to have the taste of both. But how much does one? Once you have that, let's say you have a chicken soup with milk poured in, or a cheeseburger, right? How much of the cheeseburger? Well, the cheeseburger is not necessarily the best example because they're not actually cooked together. But let's say they are cooked together, right? You cook the cheese on the meat, and now it's a burger. So how much of that does one need to eat in order to violate the prohibition of basar v'chalav? Careful. What?
More than
1/60. No. There, it is 1/60. 1/60 is only a taste issue, right? In order to ensure that there's a taste of both meat and milk, you need to have at least 1/60 of the lesser flavor, right? So you have your cheeseburger. Clearly, there's more than 1/60 cheese over the meat. But how much do you need to eat in order to violate the prohibition?
Not allowed to eat any.
Now, I know, but in order to be chayav makos, how much would one need to eat?
A bite.
Not so difficult. What?
A bite,
okay. I mean, we would say we have halachic measurements. Just as we said, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, you need to eat a kezias. In order to violate the prohibition of basar v'chalav, one would need to eat a kezias. Now, it's true, one would violate it even what we call pachos nikashir. Even if you eat less than that, we assume that would be a violation. Even on a level of d'oraisa. But in order to be chayiv makos, you need to have the shear, you need to have the amount. So how much amount do you need? A quick answer would be a kezias, right? What's the problem with that, though? If you're eating a kezias of a cheeseburger, if you're eating a if you're only eating a kezias of a cheeseburger, right? What's the problem with saying that that's a violation of basar v'chalav? Do you have a kezias of basar?
No.
You don't have a kezias of basar, nor do you have a kezias of chalav. Right? They're only merging together to equal a kezias. Right? So maybe, and that's true. I mean, that's what we assume. Basar v'chalav becomes its own entity, and therefore is chayiv, even though you're not eating a full kezias of meat, nor are you eating a full kezias of milk, right? You're still going to be okay. Right? So what about by matzah and maror? If the mitzvah is to eat the korban pesach along with the matzah and maror, maybe you don't need a full kezias of maror. A chatzi kezias would do. That is his suggestion. That's the suggestion within the sheet of the Rambam. Size of an olive. Now we somehow the size of olive has expanded for some reason. Interesting. If one wants to read, Rabbi Nosson Slifkin has written extensively on this topic. With the push of that, no, just look at an olive, and that's really what the shear of an olive is. But his theory is that that most of Rishonim probably never actually saw an olive. If you're living in Europe, probably never actually saw an olive during their life. So the olive, they're basing it on other types of cheshbonos, other types of methodologies, and it came out to be larger, which is why in order to eat a kezias of matzah on Seder night, we eat like a half a matzah, right? But anyway, but really, it literally means the size of an olive. But anyways, comes. So that's the shita. So that's what Rav Chaim points out within the shita of the Rambam, and therefore the Rambam himself. And how does that fit? So perhaps that fits along with the shita of the Rambam. But the Rambam says that maror is only a mitzvah along with the Korban Pesach and along with matzah. So therefore, the matzah and maror join together in order to give you your requisite amount opposite your Korban Pesach, which means that you wouldn't need a kezias of maror. You'd only need a chatzi kezias of maror. I looked up in Shulchan Aruch to see if there was any mention of this, and Shulchan Aruch says straight up, no, you need a kezias of maror. You need to certainly eat a kezias of maror on Seder night. Now, it says, okay, what's the source? So the source is a Mishnah. It's a Beferish Mishnah that talks about eating a kezias of maror. So I'm not sure how Rav Chaim understands the Rambam. The Rambam never says explicitly that you need less than a kezias. It's only the Rav Chaim's suggestion that maybe the Rambam would assume you need less than a kezias. So what Rav Chaim does with that Mishnah, I don't know, it's a Beferish Mishnah in Daf Lamed Tes, I believe, in Masech Pesach. But anyways, that is it in here. There's a further interesting thing that's mentioned there, that the Shulchan Aruch comments that you need to eat a kezias of maror, and don't just think that eating a full stalk would be sufficient. What's he driving at there? Anybody know? This is a Hilchos Brachos issue. What's he driving at? So you eat a full, there is a concept in Hilchos Brachos or other halachos of called the beria, that if you eat a full amount, even if it's less than a kezias, perhaps you would be yotzei your obligation, or perhaps you would require bracha achrona. So maybe a grape maybe doesn't reach the requisite amount that won't be obligated to say bracha achrona. But if you eat a full grape, you would be chayav to eat to make a bracha achrona. So the suggestion is maybe you don't need to eat a kezias of maror. Maybe a full stalk of maror would be sufficient, even if it's less than a kezias. So the Shulchan Aruch says no. Shulchan Aruch says no, you need to eat a full kezias. Not sure. I don't think we really rely on that concept of beria l'chumra. I think we only rely on it l'chumra. We only rely on it for stringencies, not for leniencies. There is Rabbi Daniel Feldman in his famous shir on halachos learned out from The Simpsons. Points out that in one of the episodes, Marge stole two grapes from the store, that she was having a mean streak and decided to steal two grapes. I think I actually once saw The Simpsons. This might be 25 years old at this point. But she stole one grape, two grapes. So why did she steal two grapes? So they pointed out that maybe it's because she had a suffix of bracha achrona. If you'd only eat one grape, so then you're chay of bracha achrona because it's a beria, but it's less than a gezias. Therefore, she stole two grapes in order to be yotze, in order to make sure she was chay of bracha achrona according to all the days. Right? Okay, so that is the... That has to do with the mitzvah of maror. What about the mitzvah of korich? So what is the mitzvah of korich? We have matzah, we have maror, then we have korich. So what is the mitzvah of korich? Why do we do it? What's going on there? That hasn't been that long since Pesach, right? What's the mitzvah of korich? Is that a trick question? What? We think matzah, we think maror.
The lettuce.
And we eat it together. Right, okay, eat matzah and maror together. Why do we do korach? And that gets a little bit more complicated. It gets especially more complicated because the Gemara seems to contradict itself a little bit. The Gemara is commenting that Hillel had the opinion that if you have one taste, if you have one taste, we mevatel another taste. If one's deraisa and one's derabanan. If you eat matzah is a din deraisa and maror is only a din derabanan. So the mitzvah of matzah would be batel the mitzvah of maror. Or sorry, the other way around. The mitzvah of maror, the eating of maror would keep one from eating the matzah, and therefore you should have the matzah and maror separately. And then the Gemara talks about Hillel, right, the Hillel sandwich, right, that he would dafka eat the matzah and maror together. So what are we talking about here? So the point, it's actually two different Hillels. That's what's a little confusing. The first, the Hillel who was complaining about this, saying there's a problem, is the later Hillel. All right, the later Hillel, which is most famous for, anybody know what the later Hillel is most famous for? Most famous for putting together our calendar. He's the one who established the calendar, you know, Liol and Vod for all the future. That's what we call Hillel Hillel Hagadol, I think. He's known as Hillel Hagadol, which is the later Hillel, much later. He's towards the end of the last of the Amorim in Eretz Yisrael. The Hillel that we're used to, when we talk about a Hillel sandwich, that's Hillel of Shammai fame. Hillel actually lived during the time of the Second Beis HaMikdash, at the very end of the Second Beis HaMikdash. So Hillel was alive, and it talks about Hillel eating, but he was also alive after the destruction. It talks about him eating something with things together. What does it say? Amro alav ahil shaya korchem bevas achas fa'ochlan. Shneamar amatzosu merim yochulu. That he would wrap them together and eat them, as the pasuk says, al matzosu merim yochulu. You would eat it with matzah and marah. So what is he? What did he wrap together? Let's assume before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. What did he wrap together?
Matzah, lettuce, and marah.
Right. Matzah, lettuce, and marah? Well, lettuce and marah are the same thing.
I mean, the mixture of the chopped onion, apples, and...
Charoses. What about the Korban Pesach? Was the Korban Pesach in that sandwich?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Oh, good, okay.
No.
Anyone else? So that's the Machlokas Rishon. Right, Rashi, and I think we're used to thinking that it was. At least I used to think that it was.
Pesach was the day before, wasn't it?
No, you brought the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach, and then that night at the Seder you had the Korban Pesach along with matzah and the maror. Right, and where do we know that you eat the matzah and maror together? So we get it from here. We get it from Pesach Sheni. It's a little of an odd thing. I don't believe it's found anywhere. I don't know of any hint of it that's found in the Lachos of Pesach Rishon. But Pesach Sheni, we have this idea of eating it al matzah sumaror. That you eat along with matzah and maror. So now, what does that mean to eat it along with matzah and maror? So the Rashi and the Rashbam on the page say that he would wrap it together. The Pesach, the Matzah, and the Mar, he would wrap it all together. And how do you wrap it together without it getting all over the place? So that happened. That probably has to do with the Matzah that we have today. It's probably not the same as the Matzah that they were using during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? How are they different?
Soft,
right? They probably were using soft matzahs, which are not so hard to make. Right? We use hard matzahs because they... That's probably what they used in Europe, right? But what's the halacha of matzah? It has to be you have to knead the dough. It has to be from the time the flour and the water hit together until the time that it gets baked needs to be 18 minutes. So if you're not in a crazy rush like we have it today, you're not using a thousand degree oven like we're using today. Rather, you knead them together, you make them flat, and you put them in a regular 400 degree oven. So what are you going to get? You can get these soft laffas, right? Like what they make up, not necessarily pitas, but the laffas that they use to wrap the
wraps,
right? And so if you're going to have a Korban Pesach along with lettuce, romaine lettuce, hopefully we'll be healthy by the time, hopefully we'll be allowed to eat it again by the time Pesach comes along, right? If you're going to eat it all together, so then you have the same thing that you would buy in, you have a shawarma sandwich that you would buy in some shawarma joint someplace in Yerushalayim, right? So that's the impression that one gets from eating Rashi and the Rashbam. The Rashbam in Perek Arvi Psachim, you have on the page both Rashi as well as the Rashbam. So Rashi and the Rashbam both say that. The Rambam, however, says, nope. The Rambam says that the matzah and maror were eaten in a sandwich along with the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach was eaten separately from the eating of the matzah and the maror, which were eaten together. I mean, the same sandwich that existed that we have today is the same sandwich that they existed then. So the Prima Gadim suggests that our status of Korich perhaps would depend. Well, how do we? What do we consider our status of Korich? Do we consider it a din derabanan? For sure, it's not a deraisa, but it would be a din derabanan, or would it be a zecher lemikdash, which he seems to consider zecher lemikdash being a lesser type of mitzvah? And perhaps we'll get to why that is. So, according to the Rashi and the Rashbam, so what we're eating today is not the same that they ate then. Anyways, I mean, whatever the mitzvah is, right? The mitzvah is to eat matzah to eat it together. So if we're eating our matzah and maror, which is separate, that's only going to be considered a zecher lemikdash, as opposed to the Rambam says that you have to have your Pesach along with your matzah maror sandwich. So we're eating the same matzah maror sandwich today as we did back then. So people going to suggest that maybe according to the Rambam, the matzah and maror together is also going to be dinder abundant. So you have a dinder abundant to eat maror, and then you have a dinder abundant to eat matzah and maror together. So that is his suggestion. So Rav Salvechik argues there's a piece here in Hare Kedem. Yeah. Hare Kedem, Volume 2, Simon. I'll put it in a bookmark, so hold on a second here. There it is, page Pei-Zayin. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that even according to the Rambam would also say that the idea of mixing it all together, even today, is only really considered a din derabanan. Why? Is only going to be considered a zecher l'mikdash. So why would he say that? Because the idea, that pasuk that we're quoting from is al matzos u'morim yochluhu, which is only a reference to Pesach Sheni. I mean, the whole pasuk, the whole source of this mixture is not a Pesach Rishon halacha, but rather it's a Pesach Sheni halacha. In which case, Korach by definition is always going to be a supplementary role. It's always going to be a lesser role. It's always going to be only in the context of when there is a Korach Pesach. In which case, you can't claim, and this goes back to what the Rambam says with regards to Maror. Nothing having to do with Maror can be a din, even din deraisa, even a din derabanan, right? Within the absence of a Korban Pesach. So if it's so connected to the Korban Pesach, if it's part and parcel with having the Korban Pesach, the fact that we have it today is only going to be considered a zecher l'mikdash rather than a separate din derabanan. That's the case. So then he suggests that there maybe is even a nafmi, a practical ramification to that as well. But in Shulchan Aruch it says that when you make in Tuf Ayin Hey Sif Aleph, it says that when you make the bracha of Achilas Matzah, one shouldn't speak from the time that you start the matzah until you get till the end of Korich, right? Those people, right, you ever heard this concept, right? If one is at a Seder, so if one, right, when before washing, sometimes the leader of the Seder will say, alright, this is the order of the next or the next things, we're doing. Right, keep in mind that by that point everybody's usually pretty hungry and waiting to eat and all that kind of stuff. But we're about to do Rachsa, Motzi Matzah, Maror, and Korich, and we're not going to speak during that entire time. Bruce, you never heard the person leading the Seder do that? Say that? No? Someone must have been hungry at that point already. All right, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that one should try not to speak during that entire time. Now, does that extend all the way to Korach? Does that include Korach? So in Shulchan Aruch, it seems to say, until you eat this sandwich, in order so that the bracha of the matzah and the bracha of the maror will also go onto the sandwich as well. Right, not to have a separation between them, so only, it says you could speak about things having to do with the Seuda. So that sort of breaks the, you could say, oh, pass the matzah. You could say, oh, here's enough matzah for you. Oh, did I eat enough matzah? Did I eat enough maror? Right, those kinds of things one could speak about. Just one should not speak, one shouldn't just start talking about the weather until after Korach has already taken place. So Soloveitchik suggests, but yeah, that's assuming that the Korach is a din derabanan. That's a separate mitzvah that one has to have and one has to connect with the bracha of matzah with the bracha of maror. But if you assume that it's only a zecher l'mikdash, if you only assume that it's a zecher l'mikdash, if you only say that it's recalling what happened during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, so perhaps it's an independent halacha, in which case one would be permitted to interrupt. Now, the Bach adds in and says that, he quotes the Bach that made this suggestion, and says that, well, maybe even though it is a zecher l'mikdash, maybe you should try not to have a separation, because that's the way it was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he quotes and says, well, then maybe not. Maybe that would be, he quotes a proof from the Rambam, that the Rambam says, v'chozer v'korech matzah mar, that you eat the matzah, eat the mar, and then you turn around and you go back and have the matzah mar, which he suggests is perhaps is a distinction, a separation that one would have between them. So that's his suggestion. Because it's only zecher l'mikdash, perhaps one doesn't have to be as strict about not having a separation of speaking during that time. He quotes at the end, however, that Rav Chaim used to be makbid, not just to not speak from the time one washes until one finishes having korech, but until one finishes eating the afikoman. Right? Because he suggested that that the afikoman is a mitzvah d'oraisa, that just as eating matzah when after you make the bracha is a din d'oraisa, so too is eating the afikoman, the idea of having the matzah taste in your mouth throughout the night is part and parcel with the mitzvah of matzah. Implying that one cannot have a hefsik from the time one makes the bracha on matzah until one eats the afikoman. Which means, what is one talking about during the meal? Nothing. What?
Talk about the Exodus.
Right. Only talking about in Yoni Diyom, only talking about things having to do with the with leaving Mitzrayim or the mitzvahs of the night or those kinds of things. All right. But outside of that, that's a pretty big chumrah. But outside of that, he felt that the Rav suggested that maybe if you assume that it's only a zechum mikdash, maybe one would be able to have that hefsek. Okay. Finished halacha day.